Linda, is that you?
Oh, how did you know?
I'm just a little lucky guess.
Yeah. Anyway,
how are you?
Surviving. I had a rough 2 weeks.
Really. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hang on just a second. Let me come back to your rough couple of weeks here in just a second. I wanted to quantify something with you real quick.
Yeah.
With you on, I'm trying to get a hold of Joanne, and rather than do a full hour, because I'm down to just you, I really can't afford to do a full hour with one person in the program. So what I'd like to do is, you know, I'll do a half hour, 35 minutes with you today, and then what we'll do is we're going to try and see if we can put you and Joanne, if we may have to move some times around. And then we can work together, and we'll do like 45 minutes for the two of you.
Who's Joanne?
Pardon me?
Who's Joanne?
She's someone that was supposed to be here.
Oh.
We had Joanne, Richard, and who's the other one?
No, Joanne's not in our group, is she?
Joan.
Oh, Joan.
Joan.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, Joan.
I think. Hang on here. Now you're confusing me.
It's Joan. It's Joan and... Yeah, she's the... Yeah, Keller Williams. I think.
Yeah, hang on. Joan White.
Yep. Yeah, there's Quinn.
A&H, GMAC. Well, I'm not sure what happened. Richard in Connecticut was very enthusiastic there for a while. We sent emails and everything.
Yeah.
But why don't we do this? Why don't you tell me a little bit about what's going on, because I know I've got your stuff.
Yeah, well, I ended up good at my whole office system. So I ended up, I'm horrible with everything with the office, and I ended up, I don't know, I locked up my, was faxing over my stuff to you. I don't know, I locked everything up, and I jammed everything, and so I couldn't use my printer, fax, copier, and by trying to fix that and everyone giving me advice, that somehow I then was down trying to fix it through my hard drive and ended up screwing that whole thing up. And then I ended up having to buy a whole new hard drive and a whole new system, printer, fax. I mean, I messed everything up. So, I mean... everything. And so, that messed me up because then I ended up, well, it did, but I mean, what I had to do is just go to my all my files and everything are in my home office, but then I had to go to East Providence to do everything there, you know, and it's like, I don't know, it screwed it up. And then I had, I don't know, it just was that. And, you know, I had a couple of, you know, just like personal things that happened and that happened to me. You know, it was like something with a legal thing with a divorce, and I ended up having to go back to court. And then I had a dog put that I had for 13 years. He got run over by a car. And I'm like, you know, and then that deal that I had for closing, we're all set to close on it, and I get a call. There was just like something that wasn't right, and we're all set, and I get a call. We're ready to close, and couple of things weren't done by the selling broker. And it's like she still didn't have, like, there was one issue, like the water meter the water meter still wasn't installed in the house. And she didn't have the smokes done. And it's, you know, we're supposed to close. And it's like, why aren't these things done? And she's, and we're calling her, my lawyer is calling her. She's like, we're all set. I can have everything done in 48 hours. And I'm like, there's some issue. There's something she's not saying. You know, and either she's not answering the calls or she's telling my lawyer. Then I had my broker call her, and she's saying, everything is all set. And if Linda would stop having her lawyer and you calling and everyone calling, I could get everything all done. And so then I get a call from this lawyer called Jim O'Neill, and Jim O'Neill used to be the Attorney General in Rhode Island, and he was representing the sellers. This was a short sale, and on this house there was three banks involved, and the banks had signed off on this short sale. So I mean, we had done title. We knew that we were good to go. And Jim O'Neill said to me, he said, the agent selling this was the broker owner of this company called Future Properties. And he said to me, he said, Linda, he said, the future of Future Properties should be no future. He said, this Tina Adams, he said, totally misrepresented these sellers. He said, when she listed this property and told them about what their liability is in a short sale, she told them that in 2007, this new law was passed, and that that they would not be responsible for the deficiency. And that, more or less, that, hey, you know what? They can just walk away. These people moved to Georgia, and so they're out of the state. So I asked her, back me a copy of this new law. I don't know anything about this, and I want to see this new law. So she never gave it to me. So I called her again. He said, I want to see this new law that you're telling my clients about, and I'd like to see this because, hey, I know nothing about this. So I demanded it again. So she is, you know, doesn't give it to me. So I demanded it again. And so then it comes up. It's not really a law, and it's a bunch of crap. And so the sellers are saying, it's like everything that she has said to them and then has not been the truth. And then they're saying, they're looking at the P&Ss and saying, oh, she never explained to them that we were even asking for closing cost back, which I'm like, this is 30 days later. I mean, this was with the offer. And I said, you know, I mean, why are they even asking about this now? I mean, this is something she should have discussed with them. I mean, why are they talking about this now? This is a Friday. We're closing this Monday. I mean, did she have any communication with them at all? It's like, what is going on? He said, they don't want to pay her. They do not want to pay her. And he said that they've lost everything. They're bankrupt. They don't care. They want to fire her, and they're not closing it. I said, my buyers, they're two guys like 28, 29, they're two brothers. I said, they want this house, and, you know, I mean, it's not a lot of, you know, wasn't a lot of money for me, but I said, they really, like, they, they wanted this house, like they, one was going to live on one side, one on the other, and it was a duplex. And like, you know how, like, I mean, I took these guys to like so many houses, but they just wanted this house, and I don't know why they wanted it, but they wanted this house. And I said, it's just like they had made all their plans for this house, and I said, I mean, is there any way we can negotiate? He said, the only way I can do it, he said, I'm going to call them and explain. You know, I said, they can just get past Tina and understand that your buyers really want it. And, you know, and so he called them back, and he called me back, and he said, they just are so angry at Tina. They don't care. They got nothing to lose. And they're not, they don't care. They just do not care. And so my lawyer called, my broker called, and then my broker told Tina, you know, she was going to take her to the ethics. You know, it's like, you know, it's like it ended up this big battle. And he's the O'Neill is going to take is taking her to court. Everyone is taking her to court. She has like one of these short sale little realtor businesses with the little sign out front. You know, it's a walk-in short sale little realty shops, you know, and it, you know, it's like, and so I don't know, it should be like a seller's beware, you know, whatever she's telling them. There's a couple of them that set up in this, you know, but it's like, I mean, I know, you know, as far as it goes, I mean, that, you know, your biggest issue is knowing that the banks have signed off on it, you know, not knowing that she totally has lied to the sellers. So, you know, I mean, we could sue, we could do this, we could do that, you know, and, but, you know, he, even Jim O'Neill said, and my lawyer said, you know, just cut the bleeding, just walk away, you know, get your money. Just go tell them to move on because these people are just so so angry at her. So we just said, you know, the hell with it. But so we just walked away. It's just like this big legal mess.
So you saw your buyers, though. Were those your buyers?
Yeah.
Okay.
So actually, so the property is still sitting there. It's going to go into foreclosure, you know, but, you know, so it has to go to foreclosure because they will not, it's just, they're just letting it go because they don't want to pay her.
Oh, isn't life fun?
You know, there's, well, now I know who, another person, I mean, there's a couple of really bad ones here, and
there are a couple bad ones everywhere. There just are.
But you know what they're doing here? Her and another one, they are setting up here and in Florida. And so, in case they lose their license here, they can go there. No, but it's true. They both.
Wow.
It's her and there's Joy Riley. You know, and it's like, I did a deal, though. I did close one with Joy Riley, but it was to the point where I had, the last one I did close with Joy Riley, I had to have my lawyer at her office, like, to get that deal through. And, like, a lot of times you don't know, she'll try to double-end it, like, your buyer's offer won't go in. You don't know if your offer is going to go in because her buyer would go in first, even though it could be lower. You know, it's like, so
right.
You don't know. And so, but my buyer wanted this, the condo so bad, she's threatening to go to the board. And so, and I knew I had an over asking price offer. My buyer was like adamant she was getting it. Had an eight, like a high credit score. We could close it, and she was like going to go at the throat at Joy Riley, and so I just had my lawyer like going right to the office and saying, you know, we know we got that, we've got the highest offer, But you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of like fed up to hear, but she's got, I would say, 70% of the foreclosures on the market right now in Rhode Island. And now this Tina Adams Future Properties is like probably right behind her. But then I got a note from, a message from Rob Scaraglia, and he's the president of the Board of Realtors, yesterday, and it said that 28% of the deals are, that are going into pending of the short sales and foreclosures are not closing.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
And is it due to, I don't know, you know, is it due to financing? I don't think so, because I don't know. I mean, maybe some of the banks, I don't know, or is it due to the banks?
I think that part of the challenge with short sales, and I was just sharing this with someone else.
Well, the bank's not accepting it. Yeah, but you, but I'm not, I wouldn't go into a short sale unless I knew that the banks had already signed off on them, and that's what I did on this. I already knew that the banks had signed off on. There was three banks. So I didn't put, I knew I had a sign off, and I already knew that the banks had signed off on it. And I already made sure that my lawyer had found out, had the sign off on all three loans. There were three banks.
Right.
So I had all my homework done on that. But I didn't know that the, I did not know that the broker owner, I kind of would hope that the broker owner was ethical.
Yeah. Well,
I wasn't ready for that.
Weren't ready for that. No, I'm sorry.
Nope.
That sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing as far as our prospecting efforts? Generating new leads?
Well, I turned in those three CMAs last week, see where those go. I have the people that live next door to me, they're moving to Mass, so I have those for buyers. I'm doing my monthly mail-outs, and my thoughts are I need more buyers than more listings. I do have a show, I reduced Sherman Farm, $40,000. Did you see that?
Uh-huh, I did. That was good.
But I reduced it $40,000 plus we're throwing in a $5,000 brand-new lawn tractor mower, a $3,000 snowblower, plus we're offering, for the, and it doesn't need it, but we are giving to the buyer their painting, any choice color, with their painter is doing it, the kitchen, dining room, and downstairs bath, their choice of color.
Wow.
Board contract, yeah. Yeah, and as a bonus. So, and I reduced the business, which I'm going to talk to him again, because he needs to sell. He's starting a good offer, a job doing SAP, so he's getting a little more motivated. I reduced Fern up in Warren, and I had reduced Whittlesey. So, but I my thought today was, you know, I need more buyers. Should I try to run some kind of ad? I don't know, you know, along with staying with my database, you know.
What kind of ad are you talking about?
I don't know. With one of my banks, trying to do something. You know, the only one I like, the only bank that I really, I mean, I have a few lenders, but the only one that I've been really liking is just like this one that's been doing really good business. They haven't touched any of the subprime. I don't know, you know, and I don't know. You know, I just, I don't know.
Well, I think that advertising, again, unless you have something specific that you're really looking to try to come down, you know, you're trying to hone in on, I think it's going to be the wrong direction right now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be costly. I think it's I do think, you know, again, and I noticed, well, I went through all your call sheets, and I know with all the computer challenges and things that you had going on with this deal, you know, we didn't make a lot of calls.
I know. These last 2 weeks I just have been, it just kind of like fell off the wagon a little, and then I got discouraged, and then I got to get back on track again, you know. I almost just like felt like, shit, I quit, you know.
I know.
It's another deal. I'm like, you know, it's like, and then all I hear is, you know, everything's
right.
Gonna fall apart, you know, and then, you know, and it's like, you know, nothing's gonna sell, you know, the whole banking system's falling, you know, this and that, and you know, it's like there's so much negativity, and you know, it's like, and the only thing that is selling are foreclosures and short sales around here, and so.
Well, again, that does shift. I mean, I you know, if you go in and say, okay, look, if you know, and you got to be careful when you say that the only thing it's selling is short sales and foreclosures.
I know.
Unless you're really, really tracking it, unless you can really say, you know,
well,
what?
That's what the I got from the board yesterday.
Board.
Yeah, it was like a high percentage in Rhode Island, and that's what it's selling.
Okay.
But they're also falling out. They're not closing.
Right.
Like a big percentage of them aren't closing, you know. So, you know, some of them, they
okay.
are selling.
Well, 28% is definitely high for that. But, you know, again, that means 70 out of 100, 72 out of 100 are closing.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing. You know, when you look at what's going on, what's happening in you know, the stock market and the $700 billion bailout and the Dems and the Republicans back and yelling back and forth and elections and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of like, okay, look, turn off the freaking TV, throw away the newspaper, because at this particular point, there's not a whole lot you can do to be part of the solution, except not be involved in part of the problem. If you know what I mean, the negativity is so strong out there that you start to use words like the only thing that's selling are short sales and foreclosures. We'll go back and check what, you know, what does that really mean? You know, out of 100 houses, how many are not foreclosures and short sales? And again, it's small distinctions between words, but you know, those words, you know, you wake up in the morning and you go, why am I doing this? This is crazy. You know,
that's
I just worked my
saying.
Butt off for nothing.
Well, that's what I have been saying. Like this, like, and everyone is like, family is all saying to me, well, Linda, you know, you're working like every day and you're not making any money. They're saying, go get a job. And I said, well, I do have one.
You do have one.
I do
have
one.
You have a job, and your job is not threatened by being, you're not going to get laid off. You decide when and how you're going to work.
Yeah, and so I have, like, you know, and so I'm hearing it from, like, everyone that's saying, oh, you know, why don't you go then? I get advice. Well, go find a part-time job. And I, you know, and so I said, I, you know, it's like, you know, everyone's telling me to give up. And well, you're not.
Don't
you know.
Give
and
up.
So, and then, you know, it's like, so I don't want to give up. And then, you know, my choice is to cut costs. Yeah, I could go to another company where I'm not paying those fees, but I don't want to, because I like my 95%. And I've had, you know, and I'm not going to cut my I can cut some costs, but I'm not going to go to another company. I like my independence with RE/MAX.
Okay. Okay.
So,
now it's time. Now what really it's time for you to do is stand up and fight. I've been here before, Linda, and I've been exactly where you are, where well-meaning people are saying, well, why don't you go get a job? You know, oh, did you see the ad in the newspaper about the warehouseman or something like that? When I first started my career, I went the first 6 months and made nothing. And I'd gone from a, you know, it wasn't a great income, but I was, you know, I'd gone from a $40,000 a year salary job to selling real estate. And all, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm not listening to you guys. Call me stubborn, call me stupid, whatever you want to call me.
That's what I've been doing. And, you know, and it was all, you know, everyone was like, oh, was well and good when, I mean, when I had, you know, a year, oh, I was making $100,000, you know, and then, all right, 70, you know, and then it went down, you know, and, but now it's like, oh, I'm like barely surviving, but it's like,
I know.
A fighter. And then my best year that I had in real estate, I fought. In my best year I had in real estate, I had breast cancer, and I had, I dropped and they thought I had a brain tumor. I had a grand mal brain seizure, and I was like coming back from a stroke, and I still sold 23 houses. And so I'm like, I can fight this, but
you can fight this. You need to fight this.
So then I'm like, everyone's telling me, go get a job, and I'm still saying no. They say I'm, you know, and so I'm like, if I could fight, and I still worked, I went back to work like 2 days after they took a lemon out of my breast, and then I still got up. I had to be driven to appointments. And I had my head stapled back together after I dropped, and they, and I was on brain seizure medication, and that is my words were slurring, and I didn't have a tumor, but I'm like, I can't have a tumor. I just finally, you know, was told I didn't have cancer, and I, you know, had this lemon taken out, and you know, and now you're going to tell me I have a tumor. And I'm like, I'm still going. And it was, they told me I had epilepsy. And it was like, okay, I can live with that. And getting used to being on medication and having that big, I had a huge head injury because I dropped in a supermarket parking lot. In my head, I cracked it wide open. And I went back to work in like 2 weeks. And but I just couldn't drive. And I still sold, and I could have sold more that year if I hadn't had a brain injury. You know, I'm like,
okay.
I can fight this, right?
Yeah. You know, I think that you know,
feel like I can't sell. No.
Well, you're going to have to change that thought process because you can. You know, just because, you know, when that deal fell apart, when everybody walked away from the table, the bottom line is that you could have, you know, you could have pulled the covers over your head and said, I'm done. I'm out of here. But you know what? All that work you've done is already done. Okay, now it's time to pick up and say, this is where we start today. This is the first day of the rest of my life. I want to read you something, and I want to read you something, and after that I want you to think about what it is you're going to start plugging into your mind to take some of this negativity out of there, because you know, you can function and you can make a great living in this business in spite of what everybody says, but you got to be willing to be the one that's going to fight. Here's the thing I want to read you. It says, "Don't quit." It's a poem. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out. Silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things go wrong that you mustn't quit. And, you know, I've had this in my office for 20 years, and, you know, everybody's tempted to quit, Linda. Everybody's tempted at one point, you know, just to, you know, close up shop and say, well, let's go try something else.
Yeah.
You know, I got to ask you this question.
And then the thought of that makes me sick,
I got to ask you this question, though. When you start to look around, even, you know, if you're paying attention to the negative news that's been going on, the bailouts and so on and so forth, I mean, I probably had no less than 30 people in the last 60 days tell me they were, you know, they were being cut back, or they were losing their jobs, or, you know, they were being trimmed down in hours and so on and so forth. You know, those people don't have any choice because they work for someone else.
Right.
And what you have the choice is, you know, I'm going to make a difference in my life. You know, I'll empathize with all those people, and I know it'll bring challenges in the marketplace. But remember this, you are solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. And solution-oriented means looking at a problem and saying, okay, how do we fix it? Okay? When you looked at the problem that you had with this deal that just fell apart, you looked at everything there was, and you said, how can we fix it? How can we make this work? How can we get it together? You know, unfortunately, everything doesn't work, okay? But you asked all the right questions. Now it's time for you not to associate the outcome with you, okay? It had nothing to do with you. You know,
right.
You did everything that you could to make that deal work. And now it's time to shake off the dust and go on to the next deal.
Yep.
And I really encourage you,
yep.
Stay away from the mind games. Stay away from the stories that you tell yourself, because those are the things that will keep you from what you want. In other words, you know, we can look at it and go, oh, my doom and gloom, and oh, my, the world is falling, and, you know, Chicken Little mentality. And I guarantee you, you're not going to accomplish anything. Or you can look out there and go, man, there's a lot of negativity. I need to do my part, and my part is to be positive in this world and do what I can to make things happen for people who want them to happen. So that's kind of my preaching speech to you, but don't you quit, because you've got the talent, you've got the ability, you're in a great career, you're in a great career at a very tough time, but you know what? In the end, when you're able to say, you know, I struggled through 2006, 7, and 8, and 9, and I'm still here. You know, nobody's going to be calling you and saying, hey, you know what, Linda, you need to go get a job when you're making $200,000, $300,000 a year. You know, nobody's going to be giving you advice at all. They're going to be looking for advice from you.
Right.
You hear me?
Yep.
All right, plug in something good, listen to tapes, CDs, anything that's positive, stay away
that's
from the news.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
I look forward to talking to you in 2 weeks. We may make some adjustments, but Tammy will get with you if we do, time. All right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Linda. Have a great week.
You
All right.
Too.
You're awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.